Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. And now Marcia Pilgrim continues the story of Office Wife.
Today at 10:30, Harry Palmer comes up for trial. And as far as I'm concerned, it's not a moment too soon. Oh, I've been on pins and needles for weeks waiting for it. Because apart from Mr. Fleming, I'm the only person in the world who knows what actually happened the night Angela Tennant died. I had an awful time with Jeff. He found out about the special delivery letter Angela arranged for me to get a week or so after she died. Naturally, he's thinking all sorts of terrible things. But I kept as much of the truth to myself as I could. And he'll understand when it's all over. It's going to be difficult sitting in court all through the trial, saying nothing, watching them spin the web of evidence tighter and tighter round Harry Palmer, and all the time knowing what I do. Oh, well. Now, here's Mr. Fleming now. We're going to court together.
All ready, Marcia?
Yes, I have everything.
The letter?
Oh, no. No, I'm not going to take that.
Ooh, suppose the case finishes quickly.
It stays in the bank. I can't take the risk.
Oh, perhaps you're right, my dear. Perhaps you're right.
Look, I shan't be a minute. I just want to say goodbye to Aunt Harriet.
Bless my heart and soul. What's the world coming to? Here I am compounding a felony at my age. Oh, what would Mrs. Fleming say? Dear, dear, dear.
Once before, I sat in this very same courtroom, listening while they tried my husband for fraud. Now it's Harry Palmer. He pleaded not guilty, so Morris Ahrens must be going to make some sort of a fight for him. The jury. You can't tell anything from their faces. While the prosecutor outlined the case, they just looked at Palmer, and all they showed was a kind of mild curiosity. And there's the old judge. The wig makes him look so wise. And the shorter wigs of the council, they look wise too, but in a different, junior sort of a way. The first witnesses were the policeman, the expert with all his evidence about Palmer's fingerprints on the glass in the bottle, and then Inspector James. His evidence has been damning. He told how Angela phoned him a few minutes before she was found dead to say Palmer had poisoned her. Now he's telling about Angela reporting the threats. Why, look at Morris Ahrens having a little joke with the prosecutor over his shoulder the way they do. You'd never think Harry Palmer's life was at stake.
To resume, Inspector. When the deceased reported these threats to you, she definitely mentioned the defendant by name.
Yes, she said that on at least three occasions, Harry Palmer had threatened to kill her.
Thank you, Inspector.
Just a minute, Inspector James, if you don't mind. How long have you been a policeman?
22 years.
22 years. Have many people come to you reporting threats against their lives in that time?
A number.
Did you do anything about them? Give them some protection, perhaps, or investigate?
That depended on the circumstances.
Quite so, quite so. And when the deceased came to you in distress, did you offer her police protection?
Well, as a matter of fact, no.
But you looked into the matter. You tackled the defendant on the subject.
Well, I...
Did you or didn't you?
No, I did not.
Why?
I considered there were no grounds for taking any action.
A woman comes to you and says her life's threatened, and you consider there's no cause for action.
There were. I had reasons.
What were they? I put it to you, you thought she was dying.
I didn't think exactly that.
But you must have thought something.
I'd seen her before. She was unstrung.
I put it to you, you thought the deceased was so unstrung that she didn't know what she was saying. I put it to you that you thought she was so unreliable that you shrugged her story off and forgot all about it.
I simply did what I thought best under the circumstances.
Gentlemen of the jury, the deceased's complaints about the threats was so unconvincing that a senior police officer takes no action whatever. That's all, Inspector.
He had rather the better of that, Mr. Fleming.
Morris Ahrens? Yes. Upon my soul, I shouldn't care to be up there with that fellow poking and prying and getting answers one didn't mean.
Hello. Who's this there calling? Oh, it must be that man White. You know, with the flat next door to Angela's.
And your flat, Mr. White, adjoins that formerly occupied by the deceased.
My flat's across the corridor line.
Ah, yes. Will you tell the court in your own words what took place on the evening of April the 20th?
Well, I heard them two having a bit of a fight. Mrs. Tennant's door was wide open, like. I couldn't help hearing the way they were going at it, shutting their heads off. Ding dong, ding dong. So I steps out into the corridor to tell them to pipe down. I'm trying to listen to me wireless, one of them serials. I'd missed a couple of episodes, and I'm trying to pick up the thread.
If you'll just tell us what you overheard, Mr. White.
Well, just as I pokes my head in their door, this chap here...
The defendant?
Yes, him. I heard him say he'd kill her.
You heard the defendant threaten to kill Mrs. Tennant?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. White. Mr. Ahrens?
Yes. Mr. White, just a couple of questions. How's your hearing, Mr. White?
Not much wrong with my hearing.
And you heard the defendant actually utter the words, I'll kill you?
He said he'd do her in.
Ah. First you tell us he said, I'll kill you. And now you tell us he said, I'll do you in. We can take our choice, I presume.
I know what I heard. And he said...
You told us two different stories. Which of them is true?
Well, they were yelling their heads off and he was threatening her.
But you don't remember what was said.
I told you, he was making threats.
You have given the court two accounts of the defendant's threats, both of which cannot be true. I suggest to you that neither of them is true.
I'm telling the truth.
But you cannot tell the court the defendant's actual words.
No.
Thank you. That's all, Mr. White. Your Honor, I should like an adjournment of 1 hour. I wish to confer with my clients. I may wish to record additional.
Marcia, I say you should confront Palmer now.
Yeah. Not after that man Ahrens has thrown doubt on the evidence.
But it was only a slight shadow. Nothing that really alters the case against Palmer.
I'm not going near Palmer yet, Mr. Fleming. Not till they've practically put the noose round his neck.
Oh, that's what I'm worried about. Ahrens has the look of a confident man. Just suppose you lose the opportunity.
Don't say that. Nothing must go wrong. Palmer must think he's certain to hang.
Well, it's all up to you, my dear. But if that fellow of Palmer's can persuade the jury that Palmer is the victim of a plot... Oh, dear me, I've never been so worried in my life, Marcia. I wonder what in the world Ahrens wanted this adjournment for.
I tell you, Palmer, we're up against it. Right up against it.
I thought you did rather well with James and that fellow White.
Look here, old man. If I were able to make them both out to be barefaced liars, it wouldn't affect the evidence of your fingerprints or Angela Tennant's last phone call to Inspector James. That's what we have to break down.
What do you want to do, then?
The bartender, Carassius. Would you say he was a friend of yours?
He served me drinks. Nothing more, nothing less.
Do you think he might stretch a point to do you a good turn?
What are you getting at?
I want to show the jury that a plot against you might have existed. That it's at least feasible.
Where the devil does Charlie come in?
I want to be able to substantiate at least some of your story. The cigarette case, you see? If the bartender could come forward and corroborate you... to the effect that your case disappeared when the tenant woman left you that day, well, do you think he might?
Can't say. There's just a chance that he would.
It's risky, but if he goes into the box and says definitely, yes, she took his cigarette case, it'll be a certain amount of help.
But if he fumbles, it'll look blacker than ever against you.
You want me to decide?
Well, it's up to you. What about it?
Things aren't going too well so far, are they?
I'm doing my best.
If Charlie tells him Angela took my case, it'll help a little. If he goes into the box and messes it up, it'll look a lot worse. Oh, no, Evans, we can't risk it.
I thought you'd say that. But you'll have to make up your mind right now.
No, leave the bartender out of it.
All right. How's that? Honestly, Palmer, did your cigarette case really disappear that day in Koreshi?
I told you 50 times. That's how she got me inside her flat.
No need to get excited. We've a long way to go yet. When they've called their last witness, I'll put you in the box. That means I have to address the jury first. The prosecutor gets the last word. You understand that fully? The advantage we'll be giving up?
Yes.
You still want to give evidence?
Yes.
You'll be on oath. Yeoman is the prosecutor, one of the cleverest cross-examiners in the country. He'll take you backwards and forwards through your story, and if you fumble once, Palmer, you'll be done for.
But I have to get up and defend myself. I have to.
All right, then, we'll call you. I just wanted to be sure you understood what's involved. And I wouldn't lose heart yet, Palmer. We still have a surprise witness to call.
I know, and I've a feeling I'm going to sink or swim according to what he says.
Yes. Well, it's just on two. Court will be sitting any minute. By the way, did I tell you they're calling Jeff Pilgrim?
Pilgrim? Well, what do they want to call him for?
To supply the jury with your motives for wanting Mrs. Tennant out of the way, of course. It's too bad he'll be telling the truth, isn't it, old man? I'll see you in court in a few minutes.
Everything. Everyone's against me. Even my own lawyer. But I'll make those 12 staring idiots believe me. The jury of my peers. Peers? After our certain witness has told his story, I'll get in the box. And they'll throw the case out of court, Jeff Pilgrim or no Jeff Pilgrim. That's what they're not counting on. This witness and me.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.